Okay, this is Carrie Dent, and we have had more technical difficulties with our class discussion, but we're not going to let that deter us from discussing days 8 through 14 of Lord Help Me Grow Spiritually Strong in 28 Days. Once again, Cindy Redding is leading our discussion, and we also have one of our classmates here, Brandy, who is going to be discussing it with us. So thank you for joining us, and let's open in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so awed by who you are, and what just blows my mind, Lord, is that you really want to be in a relationship with us and that you want us to be spiritually strong, and part of that is getting to know you better through your word. And we just thank you for Kay and David Arthur having written this study to help us in that journey. Lord, I pray especially for our online students that might feel a little disenfranchised from the class, that may not feel just as a part of it, and help us to pray for them and help them to feel a part of our fellowship and our class, even through email, modern technology. And Lord, we thank you for all those things that we can use for your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that there would be no technical difficulties for this class discussion. We're just going to trust you that everything has worked out for this class the way you've wanted it to. And I pray that you would guide our discussion here today and that you would lead us into all truth through your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to hand it over to Cindy, and she's going to lead us in our class discussion.
I'm glad you're here with us today. If you're listening online today, that means that you must have a desire to want to grow spiritually stronger in the Lord. And I did do a small little revamp of what we did last week, just so that we would have some continuity to what we're doing. And we discussed last week, before we can become spiritually stronger, we must have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was awesome to hear the different testimonies last week in class. And we, from there, we went into learning about who God is, who Christ is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Mm-hmm. And do either one of y'all want to share with me this morning or this afternoon about what you learned about who God is this past week, real quick? We're just going to go quickly over it, just so that we have some continuity.
Yeah. One of the things that I feel like I learned is that God is the creator of the Sabbath, and that he created it for us, and there's a reason that we are to rest, and that's part of who God is, and it's so important to him that he modeled it to us through creation. And that's just been something that God's really been working in my heart about.
Brandon, did you want to share with us anything you might have learned about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit this week? Previous week, not this past week.
Yeah, well, I agree with Carrie. The Sabbath and rest had been on my heart for a few weeks before we started this study, and it's just like God to place, a couple weeks after Carrie and I had this conversation, this was weighing on my heart, and he places this in the study at this particular time where I see that I am supposed to take a Sabbath, and it is to help me, you know, draw closer to him. He will strengthen me through that day of rest, and that really spoke to me too. Also, I just love that he's the only one God. You know, he's the only God. There's only one, and that all things are through him, all things are from him.
Well, for me, it probably sounds very simplistic to, you know, is that I'm still holding to this, and it's, you know, to the study, and I'm going to continue to hold on to this day forward. I just think it's going to be interesting how God uses his word in my life with this particular thing, but just the Holy Spirit, he's my helper, and all I got to do is call on him. It just seems so simple, and I'm thinking, why haven't I thought this before, being so simple? But I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit, and we can call on him to be our helper. And then we talked about, you know, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction. And here's the part that I really feel like how it fits into this whole thing about us growing spiritually stronger is that it trains us to be righteous, and it makes us adequate to do his good work.
Yeah.
That just puts it all together there for us. And then all together, it's a guidebook. And it's a book that's alive, and it's current for today, and it's our guide to live. And it's our guide to live spiritually stronger.
I wrote down on how do you know that Scripture is of value, or what parts of Scripture are inspired, the question was asked. And I put all of it's valuable, because I feel like today that we neglect, we focus on like whatever's faddish as far as Scripture goes within the church, and we don't really, I think we're just so desperately lacking in our knowledge of the Old Testament. And so just to know that all of Scripture is valuable, that Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament, and that's just as inspired and just as profitable for all those things we saw in, was it 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? But all those things where it says that it's profitable for, that the Old Testament's profitable for those things too.
And with all these things that we are continuing on, and as this week progressed on, we are continuing to dig deeper in God's Word about how to grow spiritually stronger. And so the next topic of study that we came up with, that we talked about this week, about how to grow spiritually stronger, because it's a progressiveness, you know, and this is how David and Kay have been talking to us about it being a progressiveness of it. We're not going to, and the only time we're going to be completely spiritually strong is when we're with Jesus, but it's a progression. And so even with, it's kind of unique how they've kind of done the study in the same way, it's progression. And then our next progression is prayer. And God created prayer. And God created prayer because it's our best tool that guides us and shapes us and moves us into who we are to be and what we're to do, you know. And so we learned some things about Jesus even gave us some examples about how to pray. And so did anyone learn anything new or would like to share with us something that, you know, was on their heart this week about how we're supposed to pray?
Well, I like where he tells you how not to pray. That's
what I was thinking. It's more of like how not to pray.
Yeah,
a guide to how not to.
I mean, you know, don't use meaningless repetition, and, you know, then he shows us a way to pray. But
how
he also
many times
tells
do we do
us,
that?
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we always do that, just repeat ourselves over and over and over. And I also like that he says, don't pray to be seen by men. Go into your inner room and close the door. You know, it's just you and him. It's just one-on-one. It's just so much, especially because, not that there's anything wrong with praying in the car or praying, you know, anywhere, but how many times is that sometimes our main prayers are while we're busy, while we're doing other
breath
things.
Prayers.
Oh, I have this minute, let me just pray, and you know, it can become that meaningless repetition, you know, but going in the room and shutting the door where it's just you and God one-on-one, and you can pour your heart out to him and listen to what he has to say. That is what I really liked about this. I thought, oh, it just really hit home with me. Brandy, how many times are you just...
Well, and I think I get frustrated with people that don't want to pray in public, like, you know, in a group, and because I think that they're putting such an emphasis on, you know, the words that you use versus just...
Well, I think they put an emphasis on saying the right words
right.
to make it sound spiritually
sophisticated.
People
hear, yeah.
Right.
And I remember years ago in one of my precept classes, I was a student, not the teacher, and there was a woman in there that was just, she was a young Christian, but... She had the most beautiful childlike prayers. I would love when the teacher would call on her to pray because it was literally like hearing a child pray. And you know, that I kept thinking about her when I was doing this lesson and just how sweet her prayers were and just unaffected and clearly not trying to be sophisticated in speech or anything. And they were just so meaningful.
And, you know, it's interesting how God knew we were going to have some issues with this because he didn't decide to have some issues with because, I mean, Jesus instructs us how to pray. And, I mean, what was the model prayer that he showed us? Now, most children can recite it. And what prayer is that?
The Lord's Prayer.
And I love that David kind of took the pressure off talking about how that is one way to pray. Like, the model prayer is a way to pray. But I think some people... get caught up in teaching people how to pray and say, you've got to do this. First you have to do this, and first you have to do this. And then, and him even saying that he got caught up in the idea of he had to confess all, you know, every sin that he's ever done before God would hear his prayer. And, you know, confession's a part of prayer, but that there's not, you know, there's not a right or wrong way.
Well, that's even like what he was talking about. Are you balloon-like, or are you like a train? Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was interesting. Do you think
What did you decide? Are you a balloon or a train?
I'm a train.
Me too.
I'm a train too. We got three trains here.
But
no, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm a balloon. As I read that, I'm more like a balloon.
Oh, I want to be.
Yeah.
Like a balloon,
I think I used to be like a train, but I think I've gotten more balloon. I'm not completely a balloon, but I'm more balloon-like.
Are you a balloon with weights?
I am. Maybe I'm still tied down a little bit. I need to
But I think that even fits into what he's talking about here with prayer and about structure of prayer. I mean, God teaches us how to pray so that we'll know how to pray, especially because there are times in your life you won't know what to say. The time is so devastating or so, it's so heavy burden that you don't even know what to say. And it's good to be able to call on his word to know what to pray when you don't know what to pray. Because I've had times in my life where, it's so heavy burden that I don't know, I think, well, Lord,
You don't even know what to ask for because you don't know what will help in that situation.
Yeah. And this is a lot for me to share this online, but my son had an accident about 4 years ago, and it was a DUI accident. And, his little friend was thrown from the vehicle, and he might have lost his life. And I remember we went to the hospital for almost 40 days, and we did not know if the boy was going to live or die. And I remember the stress and the weight. You could just see it on my son's face and his body as we would go to the hospital every day. And I even felt that because my son felt that, and I felt that. But I remember the first couple weeks of it, I just did not know what to pray, But I just clung to God's word, and I prayed what I know about the scriptures. I just used God's word to pray because I really did not know. But God was gracious and merciful and, saved that boy's life. And it was awesome to see how God worked that through. And it's awesome how God worked that in my life, that when I did not know what to say, God knew exactly what I needed, And so, and as we talked about that, about the Lord's Prayer, and we acknowledged, that God's, the process of that prayer about acknowledging who God is and his worthiness. Mm-hmm. And acknowledging that his will be done and his, perfect will to be done. But one of the things that I captured this week when I was studying this study about this particular prayer that never occurred to me before was whenever I would recite this or by memory or read this in the scripture about give us this day our daily bread, I always thought that meant a physical provision. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me that it was a spiritual provision as well. We need his spiritual provision every single day, and that was a major some simple things have just got by in my life, and that's
well, one of the things that I really appreciated was where he talked about how you approach God. And if you were approaching a king, you wouldn't just waltz into the throne room and flop down in the throne. And I remember somebody telling me that there was someone that she knew that when she would pray, she would say, "What's up, God?" like that. And I just think it's so irreverent and not acknowledging, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to say, "Sup, God?" That's just really disrespectful. And, you would not... an earthly king, you wouldn't be disrespectful like that to. In fact, I wouldn't be disrespectful like that to my mother or my earthly father, so I would not, be like that to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just, I love when he said, you understand the difference between you and the king. And I think that that's important for us to understand.
And I think another thing, too, that was really a revelation to me this week about studying the Lord's Prayer too is about at the end we are asking the Lord, we're at requesting for his protection. And sometimes we physically think, here I am getting to the physical realm, but we think that he means so we're asking for protection to be comfortable and safe. That's not what he's teaching us. He's teaching us that we need protection from ourselves and the enemy, the evil one. And that we need to be protected from the temptations of the devil, And I think that was, an enlightenment for me, too, because I've always just thought of it as a physical thing, not so much a mind thing, And so, and then we talked about prayer and fasting. And what did we learn this week about fasting?
Well, something that was just really very freeing to me was the word of caution that David gave us on page 75. Because I too have been discipled, like he said, and mentored by reading great biographies of the faith. And, I just have so many that I admire that and fasting a part of their lives. But he talked about how sometimes that their health was broken by too much fasting. and or fasting for overextended periods of time, and they were weakened, became ill, and their lives were shortened. And, you know, I used to read that and, like, place that on myself, that if I, because I have problems with low blood sugar, and I would place it on myself that, well, they could do it. You know, they would not eat for 30 days. And, you know, these great heroes of the faith to me. But as I read that, what David said, it dawned on me, Carrie, that's not scripture. You know, that's not, those biographies are great and wonderful and inspiring, and they're godly people, but that's not the scripture giving you that mandate to fast like that. And so it was, I just, that word of caution was so, I appreciated it so much.
Well, I even appreciate the caution because I thought this is the direction you were going. It's about fasting for other people's convictions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought that was really, you know, because most of the fasting I've ever heard about during my walk with the Lord is corporate, you know, fasting, which I'm not saying that corporate fasting is not valid. I think it is valid in lots of ways, but in some ways I think we need to have caution to that because, you know, one person's conviction, you know, you need to be convicted of it from the Lord, you know, for it to be effective. And so I thought that was very liberating.
Yeah.
You know, and and I also think it was interesting, too, that he pointed out the fact that the motive of your fasting.
Right.
You know, I think that that's, I know that, especially since the times and days that we live in today, which everybody hears about all the dieting. I'm on a diet, you know, when somebody says, would you like a piece of cake? Oh, I'm on a diet. You know, like, you know, feel bad for me, I'm on a diet. Well, I think people do the same thing with fasting, and that's that whole sacrificial thing outwardly. So then, I mean, he talks about, you know, when will someone get their, reward from the fasting?
Well, you know, the Pharisees would even make themselves look sick. I mean, they would mar their physical appearance. Just, you know, like, please ask me what's wrong with me. Please ask me why I look so bad and why I'm so weak and can't go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just, but we might not go to the extreme of marring our physical appearance. But I have been around people, though, that, like you said, be like, oh, no, I can't have that. And they wouldn't say I'm on a diet. You know, just, like, leave it hanging, like, please ask me so that I can tell you I'm fasting. And that's and it goes back to what you said about motive.
And then we know when they will seek their reward because the Scripture tells us.
Yeah.
Right then.
They got their reward.
But it's important for us to, I do think it's important, that is important, an important aspect of our walk, is there might be a time in our life that we need to fast for, you know, a time that we're seeking out God's will in our lives. But I think that it's important that we do it according to the Scripture.
Yeah. And they did mention in the book that there's a 40-minute study on fasting that Precept offers, and I think that would be, a really good follow-up to this study. Also, maybe something to do over the summer.
So all this time we've been hearing from David, and now Kay is going
to you can
to
tell when it, you would, they don't need to put the names up there. You can tell when it changes also.
Yes, you can. There's something about that feminine turn there, you know. And Kay talks about her past, and she talks about salvation and her past and the lifestyle that she had before and her former life and what God did for her. And
I'd like to ask Brandy, because Cindy and I are probably very familiar with Kay's testimony. Were you surprised at her testimony?
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, I was very shocked.
And one of the persons in our class even shared the fact that it was very good for her because it was something that, an everyday something that you could relate to. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't this... Paul had himself a past, you know, which I mean, Kay had herself a past too, but it was helpful to have Kay's testimony because he could...
Well, in the context of our culture, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people have a past almost just like this.
Right.
I think it was good to see where she is now and where she came from. I think that was really helpful.
And so Kay uses herself, and she talks about the past being the past and what the problem is with the past, and I think... the first thing she talks about is, you know, she, there are two things about the past that she's talking about having difficulties with. One, about if she had been saved earlier, you know, maybe this kind of things wouldn't have happened in her life.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of what, I just completely left my mind from it, but maybe it'll come back to me, but I'll let Brandy share with you that one of the things that Roy, her and I talked about before and after class about the fact that, that Kay needed this past for her future, you know, about what, how God was going to use her past, and the fact that God saved Kay right when Kay was supposed to be saved, when she,
right.
when it pleased God. Did you want to share about that?
Yeah, that really, I mean, how many times, you know, are we, Lord, why haven't you saved this loved one, or why haven't you did this? You know, sometimes just in our flesh we think, why, and then when I read this, and, oh, wait a minute, he does have a plan. He really is
right.
doing it. He did it when it pleased him. I mean, he could have saved Paul earlier, but he did it when it was, when it pleased him, when it was best for him, and when he would be able to use him, and that just really was like a light bulb moment for me. I thought, oh.
I do think, though, there it's appropriate to have a word of caution here, too, on that note, that we want to be careful to say that we are not saying that sin is a part of God's plan.
Right, definitely.
Because God's plan is always for us to obey and never to sin. But because he's God, and that's part of what we looked at in here, and what we did the first week is look at who he is, and he's sovereign. Because he is who he is, he's the only one that can take a past like that and redeem it. Nobody
yeah.
else can take a past and redeem it. Only God can.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what glories we may have forfeited through our sin, but at the same time, God's so gracious that he will not let that be the end for us, and we can't possibly be used by him. He's just so, he's sovereign, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, and it's always his will for us to obey. And I just wanted to insert that note of caution.
And as we were talking about Paul, here are some more things that I've learned this week about Paul. just some really great things we learned about Paul. About first of all, when was he set apart?
From his mother's womb.
Mm.
You know, and we used the 5 W's and the H for this one this week. I mean, and why was he set apart?
Let me see. To preach Christ
to preach
among the Gentiles.
The Gentiles.
Yeah.
There was, you know, and then, Paul even calls himself the foremost, the chief of the sinners. And,
yeah.
But God saved Paul right when Paul was supposed to be saved. And when you look at some scriptures that talked about that, we looked up in Acts 9:15, the purpose and why he was set apart. He was set. His purpose was he was a chosen instrument of God.
I love that. Where it says he was a chosen instrument of God to bear his name before the Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. And you see that in the scripture where he did preach the gospel to all of those.
Yeah. And God saved him when it pleased him, and God saved him right on the right when he needed him saved, so that the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel
mm-hmm.
might know him. You know, and he used Paul for that plan, just like you were saying before, that it's not God's desire for you to sin, but he uses that for his glory, and he used Paul's past for his glory.
Right.
And we talked about he was set apart from his mother's womb, and we talked about his God's grace was revealed through Paul. And let's see here. I'm going to see where I'm at. Hang on.
Well, she goes on from talking about Paul being chosen and when to me,
right.
us, you know, making it personal.
Right. And where she was at and how she was frustrated about where she had been.
Right.
You know, and the fact that God saved her. And it took her a little while to come to the revelation of that God could use her past for his glory.
Right.
You know, and that was interesting to you know, to learn and to, I'm going to really take a lot from this study. I can tell.
It's been really
been,
good. It really has.
For me, it really has. And realizing that, you know, here's the scripture that I hear all the time, and I feel like a lot of times it's used out of context, but if you use it in this context, it's so purposeful. Ephesians 1:11, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. How many times we've heard that, you know, and then people don't realize that what he's saying there is that he's going to use our, you know, that he can use our past, and that he doesn't want these kind of things in our lives, but because whatever the circumstances that have happened in our lives, he can use them to bring glory to his name, but we just seek his will in it. And it's awesome how he just loves us unconditionally and everlasting. And that leads us into the discussion about love. And I really have been, when we've done the previous week, we talked a little bit about love. And those of you that did the spiritual gifts with us, we talked a lot about love. And we talked this week about love. And for me, it really has been hitting home, you know, big time. I'm really struggling with this. Matter of fact,
y'all don't know what two unloving people are sitting here at the table with me.
I'm telling you,
I went through and did it twice. I redid it again this week.
I remember talking to Carrie's been on vacation this week and in Myrtle Beach, and we just chatted online for just a couple of minutes, and I talked to her and I said, I need some help with this love thing. You know, I really am struggling with it. You know, I'm just going to be honest and straightforward. You know, it's easy for us to love those that we have personal feelings and relationships, you know, but, you know, and I've even talked to the kids in my, I teach precept to children on Sunday nights at our church, and I've even talked to them about love, because we've been talking in John, not first John, but just the book of John, about the new commandment, you know, and about loving one another, you know, and it's just, I'm having a time with it, you know, I'm having a time with, you know, but we're commanded to love one another, and that love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if I'm going to proclaim that I know God, and I do know God, then I'm going to have to love, and I'm going to have to love the way he loves, you know, and I've been praying a lot this week, and I've been telling God, you know what, you're going to have to give me what it takes to love like you love, because I'm struggling with this, you know.
Well, it was such, again, one of those light bulb things that you said we've read over and over again, but I was just blown away when I realized when Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. And that was in John 13:34-35, that you love one another even as I have loved you. And you think, well, what's so new about that? Well, the Ten Commandments, you know, are love your neighbor as yourself. Now Jesus is telling them, love your neighbor as I have loved you. And that just blew me away. You know, it's like David said, that takes love to a dramatic new level. And it is, it's very, very convicting.
So I'll just say that, you know, I, you know, have been a believer for over 26 years and have faithfully attended church, and I think about some times that I have been bitten by their professing believers, you know, and I think, you know, well, God, help me love them. Help me love them, you know, and it's hard sometimes.
Well, I think that as probably each one of us did this lesson, I feel like God, that the Holy Spirit was convicting each one of us, probably with a face in our mind. You know, there's probably a particular person that each one of us has thought of when we're doing this study, and you know that, you know, I pray that we would act on that and not just let it be convicting, but really to act on it, because you know, loving God and loving people, that is the entire law. God says we will fulfill all his commandments if we do those two things.
And I'm probably flip-flopping back and forth here a little bit in the episode we've done this week, but even Kay wanted us to know that sometimes some of us have a hang-up with our past because we think God won't love us because of our past. You know, our past is so terrible that he won't love us. You know, and he loves us unconditionally. There isn't any past. There's nothing too difficult for God. You know, he loves us, he abides in us, and his love is perfected in us, no matter where we've been, no matter what our past is. And I wanted to, you know, share that, you know, with you guys this afternoon, that it's awesome, his love for us, no matter where we are, where we've been.
Well, the example that really convicted me was when it talked about Corrie ten Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting the guard that had abused her sister in the concentration camp. And if you haven't read The Hiding Place, have you ever read it, Brandy?
No.
I've got it. You need to read it. It is an awesome book. I remember seeing it in the theaters. It was made into a movie. when I was little, it came out, and I remember going to see it, and I was real, real little. Like, I probably, you know, like, was probably like 9 months old. But no. I was young when it came out, but I do remember going to see the movie. But anyway, it just to think about, she put her hand out to him, and in obedience, not in feeling. In feeling, but just in obedience. And just, you know, we say it over and over again, but God does something miraculous when we obey him, especially in the hard things, and just putting her hand out in obedience, that God miraculously changed her heart. And, you know, and I thought to myself, I put in here, Lord, you know, there's somebody that if you give me the opportunity to put my hand out to them, let me put my hand out.
You know, that's what I was thinking about, too. That's what I was talking about when I say about loving others, you know, because that sure shames us. It shames me. You know, I don't know what other people
have been
through.
Nobody's done anything that bad
to me. That's what I'm saying. For me, you know, no one has, you know, tortured or beaten my sister, you know, in my presence, or beaten me, myself, you know. But yet I'm struggling with this issue, and I'm thinking, well, good grief. You know, how pathetic I am.
I know. I think the same thing about me.
But I just love the fact that God abides in us and he can give us that love. And all we got to do is just dig out and let him be in charge and let him have his will, you know, and he'll give us that power and the strength to be able to do it.
Well, I think we learned that the love is from him, because we think it's something we have to muster up
Definitely,
on our own.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like a feeling, but all we have to do is obey, and then he places that love in our hearts. And I know that he's done that with other people for me, too.
Well, even she said that. She said immediately she knew to be obedient,
you know,
and then she let God work out the love.
Right.
You know? And I think that that's what we need. That's the key here, obedience. And, you know, I think it's key to everything. If you're ever talking to me about spiritual things, obedience is my big thing,
we'll,
you know.
If
we'll just be obedient, you know, and just like David said earlier, that the gentleman, the Victor, I think it was, he was talking about their training for their disciples is read Matthew and obey.
Right.
So we're reading about love here. So, you know, do like God says and just obey him. You know, show others love, and he'll work out the heart situation with us. Because if he abides in us, he will work that out.
Yeah.
Another thing that was very important, I think, especially, I think back when I was 14 and I thought that I was surrendering to a relationship with Christ, is that love doesn't produce fear, you know, that we're to love others to Christ and not through fear, you know, and nothing of love, fear and love are not even in the same realm, you know, another encouraging thing is that Jesus is our advocate. You know, we talked about that this week. We can call on him, and he will defend us. He will help us. He does everything for us. First of all, he justified us, you know, through our salvation. Without that, without his, shedding of his blood and the forgiveness of our sins, you know, there isn't any justification.
Well, I can't hear that word advocate without thinking about when we did Romans Part 1, and it was Lesson 10, and where Kay acts out being like in a court of law and being an advocate. And, you know, she just makes it so visual how Jesus is our advocate. And, you know, just to think that he is for us. And we looked at that scripture, you know, God's for us, who can be against us? And sometimes we think he's against us,
right. But
he's not. And I'm saying that to myself, because there are times when I have even said, it's so pathetic, I think how pitiful I am, Cindy.
Yeah.
I pray, Lord, I feel like you don't love me. I feel like you're not for me. I feel like you're against me.
Mm-hmm.
But I know your word says that you're for me, and you'll never leave me, and you love me, and all that. And, you know, and by faith, he works that. But, you know, I just think how pathetic I am that I would ever even think that.
And, you know what, and Jesus Christ intercedes for us. No one can separate us from his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can conquer all things through His love, through Jesus. Yeah. You know, we just we got to trust. We got to trust and believe in Him. That's what I mean. Loving others with the love of God will help us grow spiritually stronger. And if we're growing spiritually strong, then we'll have the characteristic of love.
Yeah.
It's just I'm working on that one.
Well, and just for God, for Jesus to tell His disciples that is, you know, now you think about His disciples, all the gifts that they were given, the miraculous gifts, gave gifts of healing and tongues and all these things that they were going to go out and do in Jesus' name. But He said that the world is going to know you're My disciples because of your love for one another.
Right, and John.
Oh, gosh, that just hits me between the eyes.
Yeah, because twice He said that. Once He said something about, by this all men will know you're My disciples if you have love for one another. But then one other time He said something about, here we have John, 1 John 3:10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. He's saying obvious,
right,
that, if we don't love our brother, then it's clear. It's perfectly clear.
And it's
clear.
Obvious,
right,
that we don't practice righteousness.
Yeah.
And so that was very clear. I mean, that's the reason why I kept saying that the whole love thing has been driving it home to me,
I know.
God showed us, just like you were saying a few minutes ago, He showed us the greatest love. He laid down His life for us,
yeah.
And even, as we've talked about, each time the scripture we're supposed to love others, even it tells us in the scripture that we're to lay down our lives for our brethren, and
yeah.
Are we willing to lay down our lives,
yeah.
And this is a scripture reference that I've used quite frequently around my house, probably out of context, but let us not love with word or with tongue, but with indeed and truth,
yeah.
So I've always, I tell my children that whatever you do, do it, wholeheartedly, don't do that. And not just with lip service, here's what I use this as an example in our class. I remember many times I raised three boys, and those three boys are going to say sorry to each other sometime or another, you're trying to tell them to be sorry, to tell their brother they're sorry, and I'm sorry. You're like, don't tell him you're sorry in word. I want you to tell him like you mean it. Go to your room and don't come back out until you can come out here and say you're sorry like you mean it. Or when, here's one I've used with Nathaniel. He's probably going to die when I tell you all this online. But
don't tell him.
I would tell him, what is the problem with you remember to take out the trash? Comes the same time every week. All you have to do is grab the handle of that trash can and take it out there when you get home from church. Simple. Get out of the car, walk over there and get the trash can and take it out to the road. And numerous times we've had trash for several weeks. We need to take the trash out to the road. Unfortunately, you can't get those trash people to come up to your house and get the trash can. It has to be out of the road. And every time you say, I'm sorry, I'm like, would you please stop telling me you're sorry in word and show it to me in action and just,
mm-hmm.
It never ever happening again.
Right.
But we're supposed to love not in word or tongue, but in action and in deed.
No, yeah. When I read that, I thought about how often we, whether it be acting on love or something else, we do it by feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse
right.
kind of made me think, This proves that you're not going on your own feelings. Do
right.
it in truth and deed. You might not be feeling it, but do it,
I don't know, Brandy, if you remember this. It's been several years ago that we were talking about a situation, and I was talking about, you just do what's right, whether you feel it or not, and you said, well, do you just...
Fake it.
And that's what I said. Yep. You fake it till you feel it.
I do remember that. Yeah. But yeah.
So,
I've been faking it all these years. Still faking it.
So this is God's commandment and His new commandment that we love one another as He has loved us. And even He said this is a great commandment in the law that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your mind, this is great and the foremost. But the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. John tells us that others will know us by our love for one another. So the bottom line is, no love, no Jesus.
Yep.
No love, no salvation.
Yep, that's the bottom line.
Bottom line.
So then Paul, we're still talking about Paul, and he gives us great direction about what we're supposed to do if we wish to come after, follow after Jesus. And anyone that wishes to come after Jesus must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. So what does that mean? What does it mean for us, practically, in our lives, in application?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, that tells us right there that it's not an easy thing to do. And you have to get self out of the way. You know, it's not selfish.
And I thought about this week about what does following Jesus look like in my life? Can other people see me following Jesus in my everyday life? Our life to the grocery store? Our life when we can't find something?
our children are misbehaving.
You know, when our feathers are being ruffled, it's easy to follow Jesus and it looks like we belong to Jesus in our life when everything's going wonderful.
Or in front of people that don't know us very well.
Right.
And, you know, I have several times over the years, I've asked my children questions about myself, and I was really scared to ask, you know, afraid of the answer because, you know, I knew what I hoped the answer would be. But I've asked my children, because kids will tell you, they'll be honest.
Yeah.
And I've asked them, you know, am I a real Christian before, you know, you live with me, and you know, am I the same? And I frequently ask them, am I the same to other people as I am at home? And so, I think that could be a frightening exercise, but I think that it's something that you know you could ask the people that know you well, because like you said, it's easy, you know, in front of people we don't know very well,
or at church.
I think about this week. When I was doing this study, I'm doing it, you know, the next week's study, this past week, but it's been spill over into this week. For some of y'all don't know this, I have been planting a garden in our backyard, and then also I have tons of flowers. I love beautiful flowers, and so I have hanging baskets and things all over the yard. And there'll be times I'm out there watering the lawn, and first I'll say, "Who's talking to?" And, you know, and I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm like, you know what? I need some help in these areas because I want to be spiritually strong. I want to finish this race well. You know, in order to, you know, to finish this race well, we've got to grow spiritually stronger. You know, we say grow. You know, you hear that all the time in that lingo. Are you growing? You know?
Right. And that's what this study really does. I mean, it like defines what spiritual growth is. It, you know, and it's not like this just kind of spooky spiritual term to grow in your faith, but it's like giving you practical things to do that.
So that's been really encouraging for this week. Is there anything else anyone else would like to share before we close up tonight, this afternoon?
Well, when I saw the chapter, Is There a Cross in Your Life, that was day 14, I was thinking it would have been great to be able to play Alicia's song, Is There a Cross in Your Life? And if you don't have the music of Alicia Williamson Garcia, but she has a beautiful song she's written called Is There a Cross in Your Life? And just talks about the cross meaning salvation, but also we learn that the cross is suffering after salvation too, and it's not easy. But you know, I think people always say the Christian walk is not easy, and it's not. But you know, life without Christ, don't you think that's a whole lot harder? I mean, can you imagine going through tragedies or
there's no hope?
Yeah, or just even everyday difficulties. You know, life's just hard sometimes. Raising kids is hard. Can you imagine doing that without the Lord? And so, you know, life is hard. I think the thing that's difficult about the Christian walk is we live in our body of flesh, and that's what we're fighting a lot. And also, we have a real adversary. Once we become a Christian, we have a real adversary, the devil, who seeks to destroy us.
And as a segue, if any of you are already working on week three, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare next week.
Good. Okay, anybody have anything else to add? All right, Cindy, you want to close us in prayer?
Good Father, you're so good to us, and I thank you, Lord. You love us in spite of ourselves, Lord. Help us to continue to seek your will each day, Lord, as we are striving and have a heart's desire to grow more spiritually like you, Lord, like your example, your son Jesus, that walked here for us to show us how to walk and to live. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to be training every day in your righteousness, Lord, and I pray you just help others too, because I know they feel that way as well. I pray all these things in your mighty son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.